Hi guys, thanks for downloading the episode and supporting the podcast. Before we start this episode, I just wanted to drop a quick message in here to give a slight trigger warning. At the very end of this episode, we do touch upon some themes that might distress some people. Nothing descriptive, and it's at the very, very end, so you can skip past it once you get to the section where Gavin's character, Pisswinkle, meets the big bad at the end. Basically, you'll know where you're at when you get there. You can skip that bit if you need to. Essentially, the subject we go into is to do with domestic violence, specifically violence towards children. Nothing descriptive in there. It's hinted at, but I thought I should just let you know just in case. Otherwise, if this doesn't affect you, I do hope that you do enjoy the episode. Editing this was an absolute pleasure. Hearing it again, a recording we did over a year ago, I couldn't stop laughing the whole way through it. I absolutely loved it, and I hope you do too. Thank you very much.
Come, investigators, to another spooky adventure of the Call of Cthulhu show. I am your keeper. My name is Luke, your best friend, your host.
Needs a shit.
Welcome to the Dice and Die. Everybody, hello. Sorry.
Hello.
We're late. We've got a whole two people in the stream because we didn't advertise it. Whoop, whoop, hello. This
the
is
same
a...
as in the game.
We are tonight doing something very, very special. This is going to be the final part of our Halloween special podcast on Call of Cthulhu. And unfortunately, there's no James either because his computer's a piece of shit. Well, there you go. I am, however, joined by the one, the only Emily Keneally.
Stop it.
And her hairy boyfriend, Sean Lee.
Oh, hello there.
You're shooting, man. You're so shooting. And then Gavin Bourne. How are you, sir?
Yeah, good, mate. Good.
brilliant. Good. So if anyone's out there who is listening for the first time, normally we play D&D. We are a Dungeons and Dragons actual play podcast, but we like to mix it up. We talk some shit. We talk about what's going on in the world. We talk about politics. We talk about movies. But we play D&D after we've done all of that. If this is the first time you've ever listened to us, that's really strange. Thanks for checking us out. But I would highly recommend you definitely go back and check
Skip
out like
this
the...
one.
Check the past four episodes at least. But then, if you still like it, go back and listen to all of the D&D stuff because there's some really good episodes in there if you like that kind of stuff. And hopefully you won't get offended by how often I say the word cunt.
And Tory.
Usually in the same sentence. How is everybody doing this fine October half-term week?
Good. Half-term, isn't it? I'm all right. Mm. Yeah. I'm going to... Looking forward to Halloween.
Oh my god, yes, so excited.
Yeah, looking forward to sitting at home and not doing anything because of the lockdown.
Yeah. Well, is it like the first Saturday that there's a full moon on Halloween?
No, it's not the first one. It's just that it's Halloween on a Saturday with a full moon, you know?
Yeah, and it's the first time ever. It's the first time it's my birthday on a Saturday in fuck knows how long and I can't do anything. It's fucking shit.
Is your birthday Saturday?
Yeah, on Saturday, yeah. So I can't.
Halloween, baby.
Happy birthday. Yeah. Actually, we are going out. We're going to the Duke in Wanstead. And we're sitting outside. So, yeah. We've got to go for a meal outside. Because we're going outside now.
No more.
It'll be all right, yeah.
This is our new D&D plan, isn't it?
This is it.
We can't.
We go to a forest. We're going camping now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I love that idea.
Apparently,
that's a good idea.
I called it this. James said we can go and be homeless, live in the forest, and he'll make us cozy. I don't know how.
Yeah. He actually offered to go the day before to set it all up.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. I don't get this whole stuff. Well, I know we talk about this a lot, but like,
yeah.
So I'm still in tier one, medium up here. So we can still meet up in at home or outside in group six, but you guys down in Essex and London are tier two. So you can't. So even at the moment, our camping idea, technically we can't do because we can't meet up at all.
No, you can.
I didn't know you can't outside.
You can outdoor.
Oh, you can outdoors. You can, so yeah, it's tier three that you can't outdoors.
Yeah, you can't, yeah.
But like, right. We could meet up in a pub. So we can't go round to...
Yeah.
Not in a pub, but outside a pub.
Yeah, we can...
Outside a pub. We can sit in a garden in a pub, but we can't go into a pub together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just ridiculous.
But I went for a meal with my parents yesterday, and we were on three separate tables, my sister and my niece on one table, me and Emma on another, and my mum and dad on another, on three separate tables with a meter between us.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
1 meter plus.
And the place was empty. So, yeah.
I mean, like, I still think that it's good. It is good.
Yeah.
We should. Yeah. I mean, we need to curb that. The R rate is going up. There's the rate of death and infection is going up. We need to curb that. But again, we're acting too slowly and not enough. We need, and it's too confusing. Three different areas and it's localized. Just you need to just turn around and go.
Just shut the world down.
We need to shut it down again. Christmas is coming. What is going to happen at Christmas? Like, we just need to shut it down now to bring that down so that people can see their family at Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. But
although I think some people are kind of using it as a happy excuse, aren't they?
In fairness, it is that. Yeah. It means
oh, like, no, I can't go see my family at Christmas. Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine, there was something I saw about, apparently, if you've got people over on Christmas Day, the police will come break down your door. It was on the news. It was on their Facebook, on their little news thing.
Right.
And apparently, the police will come in and not break down your door, but like, and you know,
you're never going to stop it. People are going to do it, and they cannot police that because there's going to be too many people doing it.
Mm. Yeah.
You're not going to stop it. So you.
There'll be too many D&D games to break up.
Yeah, on Christmas.
Christmas.
I don't know. Oh well.
But I've stopped watching stuff. I now don't watch telly or
bless you.
Or look at news. So I have not. I'm gonna just do what I've been doing the whole time anyway, because that same. Was within all the rules.
Again, we're following the rules because that's what you can do. You know, but that's my wife's birthday last week, as you guys know, I think, and we had some friends over on Saturday night. Technically, we broke
the rules.
Yeah. We did technically break. I shouldn't say. Well, no one who cares is going to watch this. But we did technically break the rule of six because we're a household of five. But we were like, well, the kids are in bed, so if a few people come over,
right.
If a few people care. Come
the
over,
the kids are in the garden. So,
there were only six adults in the house downstairs while the kids were asleep upstairs. But because like. It's been 6 months, and this is how the world is feeling. With Christmas coming, it's been 6 months. By the time Christmas gets here, it's 9 months, and people, we're going fucking stir crazy. And really, if that's not the issue, having a few friends over for a drink or going to see your gran at Christmas is not the issue. The issue is those pubs, and we've been saying that for months.
All the public places that are still
and schools.
Functioning.
You know, past couple of weeks, we've had three emails home from the school saying someone's infected, and
yeah, my missus has had a few, I think, you know. And
the fact that schools are back is fucking mental.
Yeah. Just like us.
Did you guys?
It's crazy.
Did I tell you guys about Archie in our chat? I can't remember if I did. I think I did. So last week, Archie came down with a cold, and we sat there Tuesday night last week, and we sat eating dinner, and he ate his chicken, and he ate his potatoes, and then when he got to the veg, he was like, it all tastes a bit funny, and we're like, oh shit, here we go.
Oh no.
And we're like, well, what do you mean? And I was like, you've eaten most of your dinner, And I was like, you're just using this as an excuse not to eat your fucking broccoli, aren't you?
Yeah.
COVID, I can't eat the broccoli.
Yeah, so basically, but the chicken we had was different. It was one of those cook in a bag things, and it had like a barbecue flavour. So it was a different chicken to what we normally have. So I think when he's saying it tastes a bit funny, I reckon it's just that. But he's gone into school the following day on the Wednesday, and it's also the day that they've had their flu thing up their nose, which again makes you feel a bit poorly. It gives you like cold symptoms. And he's told a teacher he feels unwell. And when that, and then he's told a teacher that last night at dinner his food tastes funny.
So they stuck him
in quarantine and phoned us up and told us that we had to go pick him up from school, which then of course meant we had to go pick our other two kids up from school in the primary school because we're a, you know, a full family. So yeah, we managed to book him into one of those driving centres.
Single-handedly shut a school down for a month.
But we got him tested the same day, made an appointment on one of the driving centres, went up there, he got the results back within about 36 hours, like a day and a half later, and he was negative, of course. But it's like, oh.
Come back, turned out he's vegan.
Yeah. No, it was just madness. But cheeky's cheeky. So they got an extra day and a half of school.
I like it.
Do you know school, this is a dream. At the moment, I'd be like, yeah, do you know what? I can't taste anything, Mum. Never mind. I'd completely have played up to it if I was in school.
Mum.
Yeah. Mum, I don't think.
Yeah.
It's not, because you're getting free tests every week, isn't
it? Yeah, at uni, we've been...
instant result.
Wow. Really? That's really good, though.
I think we've discovered that we think it's not actually a COVID test. We think it's an antibody test.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to discover that if we've got, they were saying something about if they say that, yes, you've got the antibodies, then you had to go for a COVID test
mm-hmm.
or something like that. Because we're having these tests, they prick your finger, they take the blood, put it on this little like sachet thing. And then in 15 minutes, you find out what's going on.
That's an antibody test because
yeah, it is, isn't it?
Well, there's only two ways of testing for corona. And that is either through a swab because it's in your sinuses to see if it's the bacteria or the virus in there. Or an X-ray because it presents in your lungs the same way as pneumonia does. So when back at like last year at Christmas, when my wife was still working in a hospital and she worked in a respiratory, apparently it was the busiest Christmas winter period the hospital's ever had, and everyone was telling her how crap it was and how unlucky that was the year she started because the pneumonia cases were through the roof. Of course, we didn't realise at the time that it was COVID.
Absolutely, and
it was only months later, and that's why like our rate was massive. And people were saying about how people were testing people without actually doing a test because you can visibly see when someone's got COVID. You do an X-ray, and you can visibly see it in the lungs, and it's actually the most apparently, according to my wife, the most accurate way of testing. Because I'm sure it is.
I genuinely think it went round my panto last year.
Probably.
Like one of the leads was really fucking ill, and they ended up being one of the first people to publicly kind of get it and be in hospital and was really ill.
Mm.
Oh my God.
I think she had it during it.
Oh shit, maybe she did.
She was really ill during it. And then a couple of the cast members were a bit groggy, but.
Well, that's the thing, but it's not being funny. It affects younger people not as much as it will do slightly older people.
No, oh, no.
Not that she's older, but she's older.
Oh, make sure she doesn't.
Oh my God, that's not what I meant.
The thing is, like, I think the younger people are just as likely to get it, but the symptoms don't present as bad, I think. So, and you're just as likely to carry it and then infect older people.
Yeah, that's the issue. This is what I think scares me most. But I don't think I'd care if I had it. It'd be everyone else.
Yeah, I'm kind of in two minds about it. However, I'm incredibly paranoid. And what's the term when you're really...
Hypochondriac.
That's the word. I'm a bit of a hypochondriac. Yeah. So, like...
where is he? What side is she?
I've supposedly got ME, and I've supposedly got fibromyalgia, which are both considered neurological disorders. So we are at risk of more severe symptoms if we get it. So I'm like, oh, if I get it, I'm going to die. But at the same time, I'm 34, which is relatively young. And I'm all right.
Yes, that is the way to think.
Yeah,
Thank you. She tells me different every day.
Yeah, but she's a baby. You're a cradle snatcher, Sean. We've had this conversation.
I'm like a sugar daddy, but... I've got no money. So
that's what I thought it was going to be, but I'm still fucking here. Like, Jesus Christ.
That's what happens when you lie.
My wife
Tinder.
Says this as well. I'm 2 years older than my wife, and when we got together, I was an up and coming star with the pub company. I got management, and I was her sugar daddy, and now I'm poor and everything. And she's like, oh, what happened?
A knackered car.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. What else? There was something we talked about in our chat the other day, wasn't there? That we was like, oh, this is going to make interest. So, kids, school lunches,
kids.
Old Rashford.
Oh shit! Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We didn't. Yeah. We said it was gonna be cunts. A few cunts thrown out there.
I saw a thing the other day. I don't know how true it was. It was one of these little meme things, or like when it's taken from somebody's post on Twitter.
Bollocks, so but, bollocks,
but apparently, to feed all the kids and give all the kids free lunches over the half term would have cost the government the same amount as it cost them for like half a day of Eat Out to Help Out back in August.
Shit, wow. Really?
Apparently. I don't know. I have no proof to back up.
Yeah, it's probably no proof. It's probably a load of bollocks, but
I could believe it, though, to be fair. But most places are doing it. All our local pubs are doing it. I think even McDonald's are doing it, I think.
Yeah.
McDonald's aren't doing it, but they've donated £1 million of food to food parcel companies.
Yeah. Our local Fat Pizza down the road's doing it, but
Fat Pizza.
Fat Pizza.
Fat Pizza.
Followed me on Instagram today. I feel
you're famous.
I know.
but Fat Pizza in El Park, I wouldn't eat there if you paid me. It's a fucking hole.
We're like their best friends up here.
We are. I love Fat Pizza down here. It's awesome.
You guys must have a good one up your way, but our one's shit. Everyone raves about it, and I'm like, no, Papa John's is still the best.
Tell you what's good in Romford, Flames. That's where you want to go.
Oh, Flames is amazing, yeah.
Flames.
On North Street. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Flames.
No, the other one. The other one in Romford.
Domino's.
No. Oh, no. No.
Oh, my God. Oh, Mods.
Mods.
I've
Mods.
Not had Mods.
Always find any independent or small chain, like little
Speedo's Pizza.
All of them are shit.
They had a really bad year when the S fell off.
There used to be one that was all right in
Speedo's Pizza.
In Dagenham.
There's a funny story about Speedo's thing. Sorry. Sorry, you're talking about
that's your
that.
Nickname,
innit? My nickname was Speedo for a long time, right?
Oh, right.
Back in the day. And my mum bought me a T-shirt because I was doing my photography at the time and I was like, you know, just starting out. My mum sort of thought it'd be great to call it Speedo's Photography. So she bought me a T-shirt, right, with Speedo's Photography. But the trouble was, if you wore a hoodie, it just said Pedo Photography. I went, I can't build on wear that.
Oh,
oh, my God.
I went, why the hell did you buy me that? It's shit. I wouldn't wear it anyway, even if I weren't wearing a hoodie.
Absolute favourite Gavin story of all time, and it's something that I've been putting off for so long to tell everybody, well, 6 months since we started this. Well, it is back when we first started the band, and we were still practicing at K2 in Barking, and you were still with Mandy at the time, and I think you were like one of the first few rehearsals I think you'd ever come to as well, and you were like, oh guys, watch this, and we're having a break, and you phoned up Mandy and put her on loudspeaker next to your microphone, and you're like, yeah, how you doing? You're like, all right. I was like, oh, can I have a blowjob when I get home? And we're all like laughing, and she says on loudspeaker down the microphone, as long as you watch it first.
There's no wonder, right? There's no wonder, right? No wonder she's a lesbian now. Right? That's no shit. She's married. She's with a bird now, and she's got kids with this bird now. So, yeah, there's no wonder. She's
put her off dick.
Completely put her off dick with my cheesy knob.
That's just the fact that she agreed to it. Like,
I can't believe I was still with Mandy back then. Fucking hell, that's
a long time ago. Yeah,
that's going back some time. Jesus, wow.
Yeah, when I was only 18, it was a long time ago.
Fuck, wow. that was a good story. To be fair, yeah.
Anyway, so we're supposed to be playing some Call of Cthulhu. Again, for those of you who are listening to the beautifully edited podcast, you've probably heard, or I'm hoping that you've just listened to the past few episodes and you know exactly what's going on in the story. We haven't played this in 3 months.
Fucking clue.
So we have got no clue what's going on at all, but we thought it'd be a laugh. I'm going to spend some time. We're going to do a bit of a recap from the start for the player's benefit and for mine as to what has happened. So the story starts and you're sitting around, you're in your office in the Triple D D&D office, private eye detective agency. A landlord, Mr. Nutt, asked you to examine an old house in central Boston known as the Corbett House. He tells you that the former tenants, the Macario family, were involved in a tragedy and the owner wishes to understand the mysterious happenings at the house and set matters straight. Mr. Nutt has been unable to rent the house out since the tragedy and hopes that you can clear things up and restore its good name. He offers to reimburse you for the time and trouble. The landlord gives you the keys, the address, and $25 cash in advance. $25 in 1920s Boston, America is a lot of money, just so you know. Yeah, so that's the basic premise. There was a bit of a role play there at the time. You decide to investigate, and surprisingly, none of you were like, "Let's go to the house," because I kind of that would have been my instinct. I'd be like, "Right, let's go to the fucking house and check it out, then, mate." But you didn't.
Learn a lesson.
You split up, you know, because unlike D&D, where you want to stick together and go investigate a dungeon, this is like, well, it's real life in inverted commas. So you go, "Well, okay, I'll investigate this. You investigate that." So Dave Pisswinkle heads to the Boston Globe. He discovers there, and I'm going to give you all this information for the players if you want to read along. It's all in the journal. You can go through the handouts and read it all yourself. But you discover that back in 1880, a family of French immigrants... Hold on, sorry, wrong voice. In 1880, a family of French immigrants moved into the house but fled after a series of violent accidents left the parents dead and 3 children crippled. The house long stood vacant. But in 1909, another family moved in and immediately fell prey to illnesses. In 1914, the oldest brother went mad and killed himself with a kitchen knife, and the heartbroken family moved out. In 1918, a third family, the Macarios, rented the house, but they left almost immediately under mysterious circumstances. So you know about the Macari family already because Mr. Knott's told you about them. They were the last inhabitants of the house. That's what you discover at the Boston Globe. Meanwhile, Dorothy Bridge went to the Central Library. She spent an entire day there trying to find stuff and came out empty-handed.
Oh, I remember that. Didn't it? Took like, yeah. She had like 8 rolls or something. It took fucking ages.
I think she had a nap.
You had a nap. That was it.
Dick Casey went to the Hall of Records to see what he could dig up there on the property. And he found some civil court records show that the executor of Warder Carbett's will was a Reverend Michael Thomas, pastor of the Chapel of Contemplation and Church of Our Lord, Granter of Secrets. The Register of Churches notes the closure of the Chapel of Contemplation in 1912. You then looked up the Chapel of Contemplation. You find references to actions taken in 1912. However, the actual records are not present. You speak to a clerk who points out that serious crimes would be handled in the county, the Commonwealth, or the federal courts, i.e. the higher courts kept at the central police station. You meet back up at the offices. You have talk about it. You share your findings. You decide the following day you crack back on. Now, Dave and Dorothy, they're like, all right, we'll go to the library. We'll help sort it out. And you go back to the library. Whereupon, together, you find from the library that back in 1835, a prosperous merchant built the house, but immediately falls ill and sells it to a Mr. Walter Carbett Esquire. In 1852, Walter Carbett is sued by neighbours who petition him to leave the area in, and I quote, in consequence of his serious habits and unauspicious demeanour. Evidently, Corbett wins the lawsuit. His obituary in 1866 states that he still lived in the same place. It also states that a second lawsuit was being waged to prevent Corbett from being buried in his basement as provided by his will. However, no outcome to the second lawsuit is recorded. So far we know Lots of people have lived in the house since Mr. Corbett, all gone mad and basically killed themselves or tried to kill themselves. Mr. Corbett was living there like 70 years ago. So his obituary in 1866, that's almost 60 years ago. It's about 55 years ago that he died, but it's still referred to as the Corbett House. Dick Casey goes to the police station and manages to bluff his way through, finds an old colleague who helps him and digs out a file. The file concerns a secret raid on the Chapel of Contemplation. The police raid was occasioned by affidavits swearing that members of the church were responsible for the disappearances of neighbourhood children. During the raid, 3 policemen and 17 cult members were killed by gunplay or fire. Autopsy reports are singularly lacking detail and uninformative, as though the coroner had not actually performed examinations. Though 54 members of the church were arrested, all but 8 were released. The records hint of illegal intervention in the proceedings by an important local official, offering stories of the battle, the biggest criminal action in the city's history, that never appeared in print. Pastor Michael Thomas was arrested and sentenced to 40 years in prison. 40, that's not very American, 40 years in prison on 5 counts of second-degree murder. He escaped from prison in 1917 and fled the state. At this point, I can't really remember how it all went down, but I remember Dorothy decided to go and visit the Macario family, and she went to Roxbury Sanatorium, where the mother, the wife, Gabriella, and the husband, Vittorio, are. Their 2 boys are living with family somewhere else out of town. When you get there, you find that Gabriella Macario is conscious and approachable, and she explains that an evil presence lives in the house. I can't remember her accent. It was like, Italian, an evil presence lives in the house, and at night I would sometimes wake to find it leaning over me, and when it was angry, the thing might cause dishes or other object to fly around the room, but mostly it just hated my husband, Vittorio, and concentrated his anger on him. He went to see Vittorio Macario, and he was just quite mad, and he was just sitting in his own little locked room in his little wheelchair and reading a Bible, just whispering to himself, rocking backwards and forwards. And when you tried to talk to him, he looked shocked, and he opened up the Bible to a certain page and he fingers it and he just starts shouting at you, and he just says, "By his own weapon is the devil worsted. By his own weapon is the devil worsted." And he falls out of his chair and he shrabbles into a corner to hide away from you, and he just carries on shouting at you, "By his own weapon is the devil worsted." And then you get told to leave by the big guard. I can't remember his name, but
Clive.
Derek.
And then at some point, we brought in James, who was playing Johnny McJames, or Johnny Dickfingers McJames. Why was he called Johnny Dickfingers?
Because he had his fingers in a lot of privates. He was an informant from the mob.
There we go. You went to see him because you think, oh, maybe the mob might, he might be able to shed some light on it. Maybe Mr. Knotts and stuff. It's all a bit suspicious, and it was just an excuse to bring him in. You two of you, so Dick and Johnny, you go in. You think, well, let's go have a look at the Chapel of Contemplation. I know it's burned down, but maybe there's some evidence there that we can have a look at. You look around, you prowl in the chapel, you find mostly blocks of granite, old half-burned timbers and ancient rubbish and things like that. And you're searching around, and it's just evidence of fire. There's still like, because it was only a couple of years ago that this happened, there's still like vaguely chalked outlines of dead bodies on the floor, and still some police tape and things like that lying around. As you walk through, you just notice the floorboards start creaking, and Johnny crashes and falls through the floor down into a hidden basement which you hadn't yet discovered, and he's trapped down there because the stairs all collapsed. But he survives, and you climb down and you search around, and you spend about an hour or so searching down there. You find some dead bodies, and you find eventually you find
is this This is when, like,
oh mate, you just kept on
it, we couldn't find it, and you were like, okay, you're not leaving until you find something.
Basically, yeah. So you failed a couple of rolls. You have like one chance to find this really important piece of information. If you don't find it, it's tough. And I was like, that's bollocks. That's really poorly written, because if it's really vital, like what, like it's rubbish. So you find you eventually. I was like, look, if you're willing, you've put some roleplay effort in, you've taken some damage, you've made several rolls. If you're going to commit to searching, eventually you'll find to this, but it means it's going to set you back, and you're not going to meet up the others who have gone to the Corbett house. You're not going to meet them up as quickly as you wanted, but you do. So you find this musty old journal. It falls to pieces as you turn the page, but the name Walter Corbett catches your eye, and you find an entry that Walter Corbett was buried in the basement of his house. And I quote, in accordance with his wishes and with the wishes of the one who waits in the dark. You also find an enormous book volume handwritten in Latin. It's so rotten and worm-eating that whole sections of it can no longer be understood. But a lot of it is intact, but some of it's not. And maybe it's important, maybe it's not. I don't know if you take it with you or not, but you know that you're gonna, you know, you don't speak Latin. You'd need to, you know, so who knows what you did with that. Peek behind the GM or the keeper's curtain is that that's only relevant if we carry on playing this game, otherwise it's not relevant at all, so don't worry about it. But you can have it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Cut to the old Corbett house where Dorothy, who has become affectionately named Dottie by Dave Pisswinkle, you head to...
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Both of your scenes when you were walking around. It was so awkward. It was hilarious. I forgot about that.
Yeah, so we decided there was a little bit of a flirtatious relationship there with Dottie and stuff like that. So who knows? You arrive at the Corbett house while they're searching the church. And this is the scene. The brick building is overshadowed by taller, newer office buildings on either side, and the house fronts the street. In the rear are overgrown plantings and half-collapsed arbor. What's an arbor? I don't know. Access to the rear exists on either side of the residence. Studying the house, the observer is impressed by the way the house seems to withdraw into the shadows cast by the flanking buildings, and how the blank curtain windows hide all understanding of what lies within. And I remember it's raining and it's a crash of lightning, and it's raining and stuff like that. You search around, you decide to, the windows are all boarded up, and this is the door, but you decide to use Dave's crowbar. You break in through a window, which takes you into the dining room. You search the downstairs. In the living room, you can't help but notice the unusual quantities of crosses and images of the Virgin and other Catholic artifacts. And there's this radio that keeps on, that bursts into life playing. Dave Pisswinkle smashes up the radio. A bit more searching in the corridor. There's this grandfather clock that's all long, long stopped chiming and old. And then as you walk past it, dong, dong, Dave Pisswinkle smashes it up.
Dorothy sneezes.
You then decide to go down and search the basement, and you don't really find much. You have a look, right? Basically it's just loads of detritus, there's rubbish, there's like a garbage can lid and things like that. And we decide that because Mr. Knott is having the place renovated, it's just where they're keeping shit, basically. But you don't have a deep search. You just go down, go, oh, there's nothing down here, and you go back and you go upstairs to the upstairs of the house. Dorothy looks in a bathroom, and Pisswinkle goes into the first bedroom. Whereupon there's some knocking. There's basically a bare bedroom, and there's this bed, and all that's left is the bed springs, basically, and the posters of the bed, and there's some knocking on the window, and there's no tree or anything out there. It just sounds really weird. So what does Pisswinkle do? There's someone knocking on the window, so I'm going to go and see who's there, of course. Why wouldn't he? But what does he do? He smashes up the window. at which point, something, we don't know what, but something pushes him out the window. He falls and he takes 8 points of damage, out of his maximum 11 causes, luckily, he passes his constitution save, throw. He doesn't fall unconscious, but he has taken a major wound. So he has got some cracked ribs, possibly a dislocated shoulder. He's in a bad, bad way and needs to go to the hospital. I remember saying that. I know I said that. I listened to it back. Dorothy or Dotty runs, hears the screaming as he falls and the smash, and runs into the room. And as she runs in, she just about sees, but she doesn't see what. She doesn't know. It looks like something moves, but there's nothing there when she looks. But then blood starts pouring down the walls, and she just rubs her eyes and double takes. She's about to scream, and then she realizes there's nothing there at all. She looks out the window. Old fucking Pisswinkle is down the floor. She goes to see if he's all right. By that point, Johnny, Dick Fingers, and Dick Casey arrive. Not knowing where they are, you break through the front door, you go in, and you'll meet up together and discuss what you're going to do. You decide to move the teams around. Dick Casey and Dotty decide to go back upstairs, whilst Dick Fingers and Pisswinkle go downstairs to the basement. Now, there's throughout this, I think, like, the radio has started playing some more, even though it's broken. The clock's chiming. Dotty notices a painting on the wall that, again, she second glances because she almost sees like something moving inside it, but doesn't quite catch what it was. In the basement, Johnny realizes that the basement room is very, very, very small, but all the walls are wooden paneled. And compared to the length of the upstairs of the house, the basement is really small. So he starts knocking on the walls and finds a hollow wall. You smash through it. There's some rats. And then we ended the episode. And that was about 5 or 6 hours worth of gameplay in, what, 20 minutes?
Jeez, yeah. It's good.
Excellent.
Bloody hell.
And it all come flooding back to me.
Yeah, there was that bit of
it. Yeah, it did me a bit.
Cool.
Yeah.
So
we found this secret passage, but I need to go to the hospital, really.
Well, yeah, this is the other thing. Of course, in real life, you were quite drunk last time. You were like, we'll just go to the basement. But now you're thinking a bit more clearly, perhaps. You're like,
I've had 4 cans of Guinness and 2 bottles of this weird Perlenbacher already, and I'm not quite as pissed as
you're
all
catching up. Even,
that's where we left off with old Dick Fingers and Pisswinkle. You'd broken through the fake wall, you'd crawled through a crawl space, and you'd broken into the other room. And I did actually describe to you guys what you saw, but I'm gonna keep that to myself for now because I know that you don't remember. We are going to go upstairs to old Dotty and Dick Casey. Let's move you over to the map.
I know I'm an American.
Yes.
I read that in the podcast earlier.
Absolutely. You're Americans. You're Americans. I expect fantastic American accents from you both. You climb up the stairs and you've got a small kind of landing area there. To your immediate left is the bathroom. And then as you go down the corridor, there's a few windows and 3 bedrooms on the left-hand side as you go down. Along the right wall, there's probably some old paintings and portraits on the wall. Maybe there's some kind of like dresser with some kind of, again, maybe family pictures or vases on them with some rotten, I mean, again, this place has been vacant now for a couple of years. Some old rotten flowers that are just sticks now, all just kind of left hanging out of there. Dick Casey, you have not been here before. Dorothy, you have been into the bathroom. There wasn't much in there. There was just some stale, I think there was still like toothbrushes and stuff in there, like the people left in a hurry, and there's some stagnant water in the bathtub that was dripping out of the tap. You know that the first room on the left, the first bedroom on the left, is where Pisswinkle fell out the window, but you still don't know what happened. And I think you might have gone into the second room before as well.
Yeah, I think it was a children's room, weren't it?
I will double check for you, but yes, I think it was a children's bedroom containing 2 small beds, toys and dresses, pictures of aircraft and cowboys. Mark this as the children's bedroom. So, an action.
So, Daddy, tell me, what did you see up here? You tell me there was blood?
Yes. In the room where Pisswinkle fell out, there was blood on the walls, and then I wiped my eyes, and it was gone.
Well, shall we go see what happened?
Well, I'm going to wait outside, but you can go in, because I'm not going in there again.
Sounds like a plan. Watch my back. So is this me? I'm going to go to this first room here. Is that mine, the right room?
Yeah.
And I'll wait outside.
So as I explained earlier on, the room contains a bed frame with bare bed springs and a dresser. Though unused, this room looks like the other two bedrooms, but you haven't been into the other two bedrooms, but it's a similar shape and size. You walk in, everything looks relatively normal. Dottie's waiting on the outside. As you walk in, the door slams shut.
Oh, shit. What are you playing at, Daddy?
That is not me. Can you open it, or are you locked?
I'm going to try and open the door.
The door will not open. There's
Holy shitballs.
A stench in the air. It wasn't there a second ago. The room smells rotten. Like decay, like rotting food stuff and flesh. It's just a horrible smell, like when you've left the chicken in the fridge for too long and then you open it up. It's this horrible putrid smell, like gone off flowers or something, I don't know. There's the room starts banging, thump, thump, and all the walls thump, thump, thump.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine, but I got a splitting headache. Is this like a kid's bedroom, did you say?
No, so this is like an adult's bedroom. There's just one bed in this room.
Are there any sort of dressers, tables, drawers?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, next to the bed. Yeah.
I'm gonna head over and just have a look, see if there's anything left of the family, any kind of belongings that belonged to the Mercutios, whatever they're called.
Macario.
The Macario family.
Macario. No. So you search through the drawers and you open up the cupboard, but there's just nothing. They're just bare. However, you start hearing...
I'm staying away from the window.
Scratching noises coming from... from outside, and you hear rattling noises.
From where Dottie is.
From all around you, you can't pin it down.
I want to say, the one who waits in the dark. I am listening. What do you see? What do you got, huh?
Fuck.
You hear this cackling laughter. And it's like the scene from Blade. Yeah. Blood starts dripping down the walls and ceilings. Make me a sanity check, please.
Oh, shit.
It's gonna go crazy.
You need to roll under your sanity score.
43. Sanity is 70.
Lovely. So that is a success. Okay, so basically, as you make that sanity check, you don't lose your shit, but it's freaking you out. Okay, so you see these noises. You hear this laughing. It's echoing around the room. You see this blood, and it's starting to pool in the middle of the room. You're freaking out, but you haven't lost your shit yet.
Yeah. As I watched the crimson run down the walls, it was as red as Dottie's lipstick. Her lipstick was so red it reminded me of a postbox. I could tell she had had a lot of mail in her. I ran to the door. And I'm going to try and kick the door down.
All right, you start kicking the door.
Stand back.
You hear this. Get out. Get out. Make me a spot hidden roll.
Oh, remember this. What am I looking at here?
On your character sheet somewhere it says spot hidden.
16.
Oh, 16.
1-6, that's brilliant. So as you're banging on the door, you're barging against it, and you turn your body to go and barge into it, you notice the bed starts to levitate.
Ooh. Oh, shit.
And it comes screaming towards you. Make
you're a dead man.
Make well, it's your choice here what you really want to do. You can make a strength check to try and kick down that door and get out of the way, or you can make a dodge roll to get out of the way.
In terms of strength is 60, dodge would be dexterity.
You should have a skill for dodge.
Oh, okay. 45 for dodge. So strength 60. Can I use that?
Yep.
23.
Excellent. So as the bed comes screaming towards you, flying across the room, you give one big push, you barge the door open and fall out on the floor just as this bed slams against the door frame. Get out!
It wasn't the first time I've been kicked out of someone's bedroom, but I'm sure to say it wasn't the last.
What happened? What did you do?
Well, the bed flew at me.
What was you doing? Did you see the blood?
I did.
Well, shit.
Fuck. That's, Have you been in any of the other... I'm going to close... Is the door still a thing?
Yeah, I mean, you're not like the Hulk. You haven't managed to smash it on the floor. You just managed to... barge.
I'll, close the door.
You hear you thumping against it. And then everything just settles back down.
To the next room.
I think we should maybe go into the children's room.
Oh, you need to make me another sanity check as well, by the way.
Oh, and you look a little bit dizzy.
34.
Okay, so you lose another point of sanity.
Okay.
But you don't go mad.
We should be more careful, Dottie. I tell you what, Daddy, you go first into the next room.
Oh, what a gentleman.
I push Dottie towards the door.
Right, let's go back into the children's room. I don't think there's going to be anything too crazy there.
So the children's room, the next room along, again, you've been in there before, as I said to you earlier on, it's contains some small beds, there's still toys in there, still dresses contained in kids' clothes, pictures of aircraft and cowboys, as I said to you, so you know this is the kids' room. As you're in there, are you going in or are you just looking in or what?
I'm going to go in.
Yeah, so as you go in to this room...
I'm going to stand so the door can't close.
Okay.
Oh, thanks.
It's all right. So mad. And they say chivalry is dead.
I'm going to put my jacket down over the blood.
The room seems perfectly normal. However, you can hear on that eastern wall that separates this room and the previous room, you can still hear, thumping on the wall. Like, frantic. Bang, 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 bang. Bang, 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 bang. Bang, 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 bang.
Okay, whatever you are, I am not scared of you. I'm going to go in and look under the beds.
Why would you look under the beds?
I'm doing it. She's a brave English teacher.
Jesus Christ.
You go down and look under the bed. Make me a spot hidden roll.
Bugger. Where is it? There it is. Oh.
Wait. Oh, no. What's your number?
90.
Look at my sheet. 2 seconds.
Hang on.
Just checking her number.
Which one is
spot hidden? I can't.
It's on the combat. Right. Your spot hidden is 25.
Oh, shit. Oh. Yeah, she failed.
Well, I got 96.
That's fine.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's fine. You look down under the bed, and it's really quite dusty under there. But you see something towards the back, but you can't quite make out what it is.
We've got torches, right?
Can I reach for it?
Absolutely.
I'm going to reach for it.
You reach for it. Your hand goes down into the dark underneath the bed, and you know when you're looking for something under a bed or under a sofa or something, and you can't get your hand in, and still you can't look at the same time, so you kind of turn over and you're reaching around blindly looking for, trying to get it. Your fingers just touch it a little bit, and you just stretch that a little bit more. You manage to grab it. It feels solid, like a box, square, hard, wooden. You pull it out, and it's just this cube. And there's a little handle on the side that winds round and round.
Let's do it. Let's twist the little box away from my face. Just like away a little bit.
Okay, you start turning it and Sean has it.
Oh my God.
What are you doing?
Boom! It's Jack the Box. Bangs out.
I run in and pull my gun out.
And it just bounces backwards and forwards in your face.
I drop it. I'm just going to go that the fuck away from me.
Is the
weird thumping sound still coming from the other room?
Yeah, and it, just then there's a ba 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 bum, ba 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 bum.
Hey Casey, why don't you come in here a second?
No, that's quite all right, thank you.
Oh please, I insist.
I'll go in slightly.
I think we should bang on the wall. And see what happens.
Oh, like that, is it? Okay.
Bow, 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 bow.
I can feel you drumming.
Shit first, yeah.
Oh, poor Pisswinkle down in the basement. He thought he was in there, didn't he?
I'd pick her up and bang her on the wall.
And the scene just fades to black. And we see a train going along. Choo, choo, and as it goes into a tunnel.
What's that in the sky? It looks like a huge wieners. Get your wieners.
Oh, my goodness.
So you bang on the wall.
Bang on the wall.
Yes.
There's no reply, and the banging stops. You start hearing scratching. Get out!
Let's grab her hand and we run for the door.
Yeah. We're out. We're off.
We're off.
See you later, mate.
Where should we go? Where do you
want to... I feel like we should go into another room, but at the same time, I don't know if that's really a good idea.
So there's one, there's one room left. It's stupid if we don't look in it. I'm just going to go down and peek in the next door just to see what kind of room it is.
Okay.
I will follow slowly behind.
The last room appears to be an ordinary bedroom with a double bed, bookshelf and window view. Apparently, the room of Vittorio and Gabrietta. More crosses and many candles are here. And a rosary and a breviary? Rest on a table beside the bed.
Right.
I think this might be the room we're looking for.
I think you might be right.
Over and look at the stuff on the table beside the bed.
I recommend you grab a cross. Maybe.
And I will grab a cross, maybe.
Okay, you grab a cross and you go and look around the stuff. And again, as I just said, though, there's more than you'd expect, even in like the most, in the biggest kind of Catholic kind of family or person that you can think of who home, like there's an awful lot of crosses, one on every wall and every corner of the room. The rosemary beads are on the table. There's a Bible next to the bed, but you don't, there's nothing really of interest at all. What do you, well, I mean, not on first glance.
I'm gonna open up the Bible.
There is a page. Roll me a, I don't know what all the skills are in this game. Like if it was D&D, I'd tell you to roll an investigation. But
investigation.
I don't know if there's anything similar in this.
Yeah, there's not like an investigation, is there?
There's not, yeah. So I mean, I suppose the closest thing would be spot hidden, I suppose. I think it kind of encapsulates any kind of looking or searching type skill.
Okay. So, 37.
Well, it's just a pass. My
spot hidden 50, yeah.
So as you pick up the Bible and you kind of start thumbing it, you realise that there's one page bookmarked. And then there's a one passage that is highlighted. It reads, by his own weapon, the devil is worsted.
What would you say the devil's weapon is, Daddy?
I think it's probably himself. Oof, that was poetic, wasn't it?
Ooh.
Oof, would you look at that? I think it's maybe something he possesses, maybe. I'm not entirely sure. But maybe if there's anything else, I don't know, a wardrobe or something you should look in. Maybe. Might be in there.
Fuck you, look yourself.
Hey, maybe you should open that wardrobe over there. Looks.
I opened that wardrobe over there.
As you walk over to the wardrobe, you see that actually the door is just so slightly ajar already.
Oof, shit.
Have you been there before?
No.
Oh, okay. Thought you set me up.
It's a door with like a mirror inbuilt. You open it up and inside you just see some clothes and things like that. As you close the door after searching, and you think, well, Dorothy's behind you. You close the door and you see in that mirror, you see this figure floating near Dorothy, of this ghastly, skinny, kind of ghoulish figure. Make me a sanity check.
You should help out Dottie.
Me? Okay.
Fuck.
Oh, Cox dice.
Oh, yeah.
Right, I've got a 00 and a 3. What does that mean?
That means you've got a 3, which is almost the lowest you could possibly get. So you close you close it, you see this figure, you gasp, you hand down to your hand pistol, you turn around, but as you turn around, there's nothing there.
I'm going to throw a cross to Dottie.
Fucking knocked her out.
Did she catch it?
She's got head wounds.
Oh, this is the shit that they were looking at, weren't they? It was haunting him in the night.
Yeah.
What? This is what you told me. You said.
Yes. What did you see?
Floating above his
Why
bed.
Are you freaking out? What's the matter?
Oh, there was a big skinny thing floating over you like some sort of ghoul.
Oh my god.
Mm.
Well, maybe,
maybe we... Maybe...
Hello? maybe we should, I don't know, grab the rosary. Grab all the crosses.
Yeah, I'm going to take, I think, take a cross each.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what this means.
I think we should... I just think just keep calling out to it. I think... maybe keep saying it. Say it three times. Stuff always happens when you say stuff three times.
Done. Let's do it.
Candyman, Candyman, Candyman.
So, ready?
By his own weapon, the devil is worsted. By his own weapon, the devil is worsted. By his own weapon, the devil is worsted.
Fuck me, Jesus.
Oh, jeez.
What happens?
What happens now?
That was brilliant. The room is eerily quiet.
Nothing. Well, shit. Maybe it's afraid of us.
More than we're afraid of it.
Maybe.
Let's fuck off.
Maybe there's like one last place we can check, just in case. Like the desk of drawers by the bed. Is that there?
We just did that, didn't we?
No, yeah, you kind of found like roses.
Oh, we did it. Let's go.
Let's fuck off.
Leave. We'll leave. I think we've done enough. There's nothing here.
So. Yeah, let's. Either we're going to head back downstairs.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like there's much.
With the crosses.
Okay. So as you start walking back up the corridor, the door to the first room is open.
We need to go in there.
Yeah.
So, same again? We're gonna go. We're both going to go in that first room.
Yes.
We're going to close the door behind us.
Oh, what? Why are you shooting the door?
Yeah, no, that's when the bad things happen.
Yeah. Oh, for fuck. Oh, all right. Dottie's not happy that Casey shut the door.
Right.
Okay.
By his own weapon, the devil is worsted.
We're saying it again?
We're going to hold our crosses. Ready? Yeah.
By his own weapon, the devil is worsted.
By his own weapon, the devil is worsted. By his own weapon, the devil is worsted.
Fuck me, Jesus.
I mean, I was never done this before.
What happens to him? I've got no idea what to do in this game. I don't think I understand it.
I think we're doing a great job.
Yeah, we're perfectly fine. We could probably get another session out of this, Luke, to be fair. And, James could come to the next one.
We absolutely need to fucking wrap this up.
It's fine.
No, we said this is the final episode and it's going all the way through because I've said it.
Mate, I'm so sorry. You've been sat there ages.
No, it's fine. I'm enjoying it.
Oh god. Is that what happened?
What happened?
Get out! The bed starts shaking. Bam, 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 bam. Starts flying towards you. Can you both make me a luck roll?
Luck. Right, let me get my luck up because I don't know what that is. Right. Where is it? There. Okay. What'd you get? 45. Oh my goodness. Okay. Shit.
Ooh.
Oh no.
It's a 45 and a 72.
Dorothy Bridge, can you make me a dodge roll?
Oh god. Okay. Right. Where's my. Oh, jeez. Okay. Ooh. Ooh.
Ooh.
21.
I'm assuming. What's your dodge skill?
Dodge 30.
That's a success.
Yeah.
That is a success. You
bloody hell.
Dive out of the way as this bed comes flying towards you and just smashes into the opposite wall that was behind you. And you're laying down on the floor. It starts levitating up and spinning around the room. Get
Casey, jump on the bed.
It's going to be like a whole new world from Aladdin in a minute. It's just got a flying bed.
I'm going to see if I can jump onto the bed. And I will hold my hand over the side and say, "Do you trust me?"
I can't. I didn't just... Wait.
Do you trust me?
Jeez.
Oh. Can I get on the bed?
You make me a dex check, I suppose.
Fuck.
Sorry, Luke, we ruin your games.
I'm trying to create atmosphere. Shit. And you guys are fucking scary movie.
Well, you'll be pleased to know that was a straight up fucking foul. That was a 70.
Ooh. Oh, no.
Okay. You try and jump and clamber onto this bed as it comes swinging down at you.
Oh my goodness.
What did you roll?
I rolled a 70. I got a 50 for dex.
Okay, so you have options in these situations. If you remember, you said you read all through the rules today. There are two things you can do with a failed roll. You can
push it,
which means if you push it, you get to roll again. However, if you fail, there will be dire consequences.
Oh my god.
Or you
jumping
can
on a bed.
Or you can use luck points. So you can basically, if you wanted to, you could spend 20 luck points, which is a lot, to turn that into a success.
I mean, how much have we got left of the game to play?
Depends how much they fuck around, really.
Well, my dex, it was 15.
Oh my god!
Push it. That's genius. Right, I'm gonna push it.
Okay, roll again.
16.
Yes!
Oh, as well. So what's the 16 out of 50? So it's a hard success. Not quite an extreme success, but a hard success. So you go to jump up onto this bed just as it starts flying down towards you. You manage to spin yourself round and grab onto the headboard and swing yourself around and hold onto it as it just slams into the wall against where you just were. But you manage to just swing on. And it's just shaking around like a brocking bronco or whatever it's called. And you're just managing to hold on.
Holding my cross.
Yeah. Now what do you do?
Fuck knows. This is your idea.
Oh, yeah, it spins
round the room, lines itself up. And it's about to come down the Dorothy Bridge. Can you also, both seeing all of this, make me sanity checks as well, please?
Oh, shit. What'd you get? We not
74.
Is
that
a
fail?
It is.
That is
an absolute 68. Fail. And I got 83.
Two fails?
I mean, it's only fair. I'm on the bed.
Okay, so Dick Casey, you are cocked eye. Oh, well, I rolled a 1 on a d4, so you're going to lose another sanity point.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And Dottie, Dorothy Bridge, loses 2 sanity points. Okay. Now, what was the rules on failing a sanity roll? We looked at this earlier on, didn't we?
Everybody dies.
When you fail a sanity roll, the keeper gets to momentarily control your next action as the fear takes hold of you. Perhaps you unwittingly scream or squeeze the trigger of your gun. Well, you don't have a gun in your hand. They're just examples.
Thanks, fuck.
So you are both just like screaming your asses off. And just like in, I don't know, like Casper the fucking friendly ghost, you start, you charge out of the room. Dick Casey, as much as you jumped on and you're hanging on to this, as it's banging around, and as you can see yourself barreling down, you can't control this, you don't know what the fuck you're doing up here, you're just like, what the fuck am I doing up here? And you just drop off the bed and you both run screaming out of the room down the stairs.
Absolutely. Sounds good.
You get to the bottom of the stairs and you can catch your breath.
GKC, are you okay?
What the fuck?
Maybe we should go see if Pisswinkle is okay, because he's a dying man.
Where's that goddamn Pisswinkle when you need him?
See if he's all right.
And now for the adventures of Pisswinkle and Dick Fingers.
Okay. Dick Fingers, Johnny Dick Fingers McJames, and Dave Pisswinkle. As you remember rightly, you had just cracked through
the wall.
A fake wall. You made a hole kind of in the middle of the wall, and had to. And when you got that, you could see that there was a hole a little while. You had to crawl through. So as you crack through, Pisswinkle. Mm-hmm.
We must have missed something up there.
Absolutely.
There was a lot of looking around.
Pisswinkle, yeah. So basically...
Yeah.
I will describe the scene, because mm-hmm. even though James is not here to play Dick Fingers, Dick Fingers still sees he crawls through first and you're just behind him. He crawls through and he crawls out. And this is what he sees. Lying motionless and seemingly dead on a pallet in the centre of the room is a drawn, wooden-looking, wizened figure of some 6 feet. Skinny and naked, with ghastly, ghastly, wide-flaring, saucer-like eyes and a nose like a knife blade. Some sort of chain rests around his neck. He has lost all hair, and his shrunken gums make his teeth look very long. From him comes a sharp, sweet, churning scent like rotten corn. Dave Pisswinkle doesn't see this as he's just crawling behind him, and Johnny Dick Fingers was Cockney as well. He's like, what the fuck is that, mate? And as you crawl through and stand up, can you make me a power roll, please?
Ooh.
Power?
Yes.
So I rolled a 54. Where's power on my... Oh, power's 50. So, yeah, over 50 I've rolled.
So that is a failure.
Yep. That's annoying.
It is.
54 as well, jeez.
It is.
Couldn't have got any closer.
Ooh, can someone quick maths for me? Actually, I'll do
He's probably dead now, isn't he? I waited all this time to roll 54 and die.
I would make my day. That'd be too funny.
Okay. Imagine.
Yeah, there's no chance for you.
Ah.
You stand up and Dick Fingers is in front of you like, what the fuck? I thought he was meant to be buried. What the fuck is this, mate? As he does. Your mind suddenly becomes really very cloudy. Oh, you lose control of yourself and you don't even know what you're doing.
Oh, shit.
You hear this voice in your head. Kill him.
Oh my god.
Take your crowbar. Kill him. And suddenly, it's not Dick Fingers standing there anymore. Father.
Oh.
Johnny, your shoes.
And all these memories and feelings of your childhood come flooding back to you. Images of your dad shutting a bedroom door and taking off his belt. No more, Daddy! You scream. As you swing your crowbar at Dick Finger's head.
So someone got a roll for Dick Fingers now?
Yeah, but I'm going for fag. On the stream, we're going to take a quick break. Maybe it'll be two episodes, but
I'm out of beer, that's the problem.
Oh, mate.
Oh, no.
I've got gin, but that's about it.
Get on the gin.
I might have to have some gin. Yeah. Right.
We will be back.
Hello there, bird bolt thrower here. Excuse me one second. Oh, you bastard. Oi, Scapes, wrap up a bit of that old meat for me, will ya? Do you sometimes find yourself in the midst of battle wondering if a creature is flanked? Wondering if you meet the criteria for sneak attack? Well, look no further. Grab your player's handbook or other D&D books at langdongames.co.uk using the code DICEANDDIE for a whopping 15% off of their D&D range. That's langdongames.co.uk. Happy adventures.
Hi guys, it's Luke. Very quick intro before the episode starts this week. You're about to hear an advert. Never done this before. But it's basically a favour. A podcast I listen to called The Billowing Hilltop. Great bunch of guys. And I think I'm quite friendly with their GM, Mike, over the past couple of months as we've been growing and going through this journey together. Him with his podcast, us with ours. And I love their show. So they've put a little promo together. And I said I'd play it at the beginning of our show. If you like how they sound, they're similar to us. Maybe a bit more serious, but they've got a great little homebrew world. Now, I'd highly recommend checking them out. It's The Billowing Hilltop. Please, please, please do. Once you've finished listening to us, our episode, and you've loved it, and then you've gone and reviewed it, obviously, because, of course, why wouldn't you? Go have a look. Whatever app you're using, Spotify, whatever, have a little search for The Billowing Hilltop and check out my friends. Thank you very much. Enjoy the episode.
We're going to give it another go. A bit more zing.
Zing.
Yeah. Ready? Hello.
Hello.
With a hello.
No.
Wait till I get through the whole thing. Ready? Hello with a billowing hilltop.
Hello.
Oh,
dear.
We're waiting to get through the whole thing.
I thought
the whole thing.
The whole thing is hello with a billowing hilltop. Okay. That's the whole thing.
Yeah? Okay.
That was right.
That pretty much sums up the show. But if you want to find out any more, you can visit us at www.billowinghilltop.com. Is it com? Does anybody know?
.org.
Is it?
.com.
What do we do? What do we play?
There's monsters.
Does anybody remember?
Walking around.
I don't know.
And
we will be delighted if you're to join us around our table as we play Dungeon. Is it 5th edition? Hello?
Yeah, we think so. Yeah.
Yes.
We play Dungeons and Dragons.
Sorry, that was me.
What was that noise in the background? There will be noises in the background as we play Dungeons and Dragons 5th edition through the classic Paizo adventure path, The Age of Worms. You can expect this.
No!
Quite a bit of this.
I'm completely lost.
This.
Bleh.
This.
I've got a bugbear in my underpants.
And one of these.
Oh dear.
We're on Apple Podcasts and we're on Spotify and we're on TuneIn and you can find us on Twitter and you can find us on Facebook. And we hope you join us. Thanks very much.